Well, why don't you go ahead and get your Bibles. We're going to be in Luke chapter 18 as we finish this week, Faith in the 21st Century. So thanks for coming and for worshiping with us, those of you in the building and those of you that are online. We are finishing this series and we're coming to this with two big ideas. The first one is people matter. People are important. Again and again and again, we want to see this truth come through in Scripture that people are important. You matter because you were created in the image of God. And so many times in our lives, we get so busy with the hustle and bustle that we blow past one another, forgetting to look at each other and enjoy one another and to show value. Second thing that we're challenged by with this study is that people that interacted with Jesus, they grew in their faith with Christ. They continually were challenged by Christ and what he said as he spent time with them. He was able to spend time with them. Why? Because people are important. Therefore, people are important. They were able to grow in their faith with Christ. Whether it was Zacchaeus, Matthew, Salome, or the woman who anointed Jesus' feet last week. Each person was able to grow in their relationship and Christ added value to them. All right, we're going to be in Luke chapter 18. I have a question for you. Hoping you'll give me some interaction, whether a yes or a no, you'll raise your hand or something. I'm hoping for some feedback. Are you with me? All right, good. That's good. We're getting it. We're starting. There you go. The caffeine has kicked in. Would you rather be blind or deaf? Blind or deaf? How many of you would rather be blind? Anybody? Okay. How many of you would rather be deaf? And in all seriousness, we don't want either of these. But there are some that are struggling with blindness or deafness. If I had to choose, I would choose to be deaf. But this morning, we're going to meet a man who was blind. And he, in my opinion, he had the worst kind of blindness because he had sight, he lost it, and then the good news, he was able to receive it back with the last miracle in the life of Christ before the crucifixion. We'll get into that. I'll show you that in Scripture. But for you, those of you who are Bible scholars, this is found in Matthew and Mark and Luke. Now, it's the same story, the same narrative, but there's different details given. If you're really interested and want to dig deep, let me know. You can see me at the end of service. Send me an email. And I'll get you the resources that I study with. But very quickly, Matthew chapter 20 tells us that there are two men that are blind that Jesus heals. But Luke is going to talk about one. It's interesting in Mark 10, Mark tells us that it's one man, but he's the only author that names him Bartimaeus. So we know him as blind Bartimaeus from Mark's account. Matthew doesn't name him, Luke doesn't name him, only Mark does. Well, why? Well, a little preview is because Mark was the first gospel written, and the early church was so impacted by the testimony and the life of blind Bartimaeus that they name him and claim him, and then they look back at his life that was changed by his interaction with Jesus. Now, also, if you look in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, some of the writers say that Jesus was coming into Jericho. Some of the writers say he was as he was leaving Jericho. Now, Jericho is the Old Testament, but Jericho is also the New Testament. Most scholars and commentators, they say that Jesus may have been coming into the New Jerusalem or leaving, or the Old Jericho and leaving the New Jericho or vice versa. So you see some discrepancies, if you will. They're not very big, they're not very major because they don't impact the story. But as we look at Luke chapter 18 this morning, I want to always bring to you a life that has been changed by Jesus. And one of the blessings that comes with pastoral ministry is I get the opportunity to study God's word. And you see, it's third service. I'm already leaning into next week. And I'm already thinking and preparing mentally for studying in 2 weeks. And the one struggle that happens in my life is that sometimes I get so busy studying God's word that I forget to allow God's word to change me. It's just the rhythm. I have, you know, tomorrow morning, 7:30 a.m., I'm already leaning into 2 weeks from now the message. And I feel that weight and I feel that, quote, pressure. I got to have a message because in less than 7 days, everybody's coming back for a new message. And as I was studying this week, I got into the rhythm and it's been an interesting week. That doesn't mean there's bad things. It's just, there's a lot of things going on here at the church. And I was studying and I was trying to find the 3 points, the prayer and the poem to go with the message. If you're with me, are you with me? And I was studying and I was trying to find that picture. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't an audible voice, but it was just like the Lord just said, slow down, slow down. And I saw this picture that made me sit there and slow down, Bartimaeus. And I sat there and I looked at that picture. And in a brokenness came over me. A humbleness came over me. A repentance came over me. Because I get so busy studying the 3 points, the prayer, the poem. Next week, the 3 points, the prayer, the poem. The next week, the 3 points, the prayer, the poem. And I sat here and I thought about this guy. And I thought about the brokenness that he has. And I was challenged to slow down and allow God's word to challenge me and minister to me. When we leave the parking lot in the next 35 minutes or so, you're going to pick up your busy life. Your Google Calendar is going to be there. The rest of your activities are going to be there. I would just ask from a brokenness to slow down. And let's look at Bartimaeus' life because we've learned a lot and we can learn a lot from him. Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. Don't forget about Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, all right? Now, as Jesus was approaching Jericho, he's on his way to Jerusalem. You see, the red arrow points out Jericho. The blue arrow points out Jerusalem. Jesus is on mission. What's his mission? His mission is to go to Jerusalem. What happens in Jerusalem? He is going to die. His very purpose and point in living was to die. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's going to save us by dying on the cross. And so many times we get so busy in life, planning, wondering, worrying, stressing about what's next, we forget to live in the moment. And here comes Jesus coming through Jericho. I'm not Jesus, but I could only imagine the pressure, the stress, if you will, the anxiety that is coming to Jesus, knowing that we are within 2 weeks of his horrendous, horrific death. Do you think he's got something on his mind? I would submit to you, yes. And he's coming to Jericho. He's got to get to Jericho on his way to Jerusalem so that he can suffer and die. But as he is approaching Jericho, there is a blind man that was sitting by the road. Blindness in the New Testament, it's not new. It is common. But just imagine your life if you could not see. If you want to, for the next 10 minutes, close your eyes. Don't fall asleep, but close your eyes. If you want to, this afternoon, your homework can be to go home and take a bandana or a handkerchief and tie it around your eyes and try to eat lunch. Try to make lunch with your eyes closed. Try to navigate the home that you know so well with your eyes closed. Just imagine the change of life that would happen. Everything would change. Jesus is coming into Jericho, man on a mission, and yet he sees this blind man. He is physically blind. Blindness in the New Testament had a special connotation. If you were blind in the New Testament, people automatically associated judgment or wrath from God. You could see John chapter 9. The disciples asked Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he is blind?" So the disciples and the people, they saw someone, automatically you're blind. Automatically you are in judgment. God is unleashing his wrath on you. It's almost like when you were a kid, or if you are a child, and your brother or sister is getting yelled at and in trouble. You avoid the situation because you don't want the wrath or trouble to come your way either. So here comes this blind man. He's sitting by the road. He can't navigate very well. His only way of survival is to beg. He has no government programs to help him. He has no society to help him. He is only reliant upon the generosity of other people. How different would our lives be if we were blind and unemployed and lived in the first century? Life would be dramatically different for us. So here comes Jesus. He's working his way up top. Again, we're at the Red Arrow Jericho, leaning into Jerusalem within the next week and a half. He is going to Jerusalem to suffer and die. Now, hearing a crowd, because there's a crowd around Jesus at the end of his ministry, he has all these miracles. He has great popularity with the people. There's a crowd going by. He being Bartimaeus, the blind man, began to inquire what this was. He can't see. He's sitting by the road, and there is a momentum. There is a unnatural hustle and bustle around him. People are talking. Here comes Jesus. Get out of the way. Here he comes. He can't see what's going on. So all he knows is there is a crowd. I'll come back to that in a minute. Now they told him being blind Bartimaeus, that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Jesus has a reputation. He's been there for 3.5 years. He's heading to Jerusalem to die. People know what Jesus can do. They know what Jesus has done. They've seen the miracles. They've heard the message. And they know what he can do. So verse 38, the blind man, he called out to Jesus. He doesn't know where he is. All that he knows is somebody told him Jesus is coming to town. Remember, the blind man, he has a reputation. You are one that is being scorned, judged under the wrath of God, which is not true. But that's the social connotation that goes with it. He's lucky that someone actually spent time to interact with him. He doesn't know when Jesus is coming. He can only hear the hustle and bustle and the anxiousness of people, the momentum of people. So he calls out saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." If you've ever been in the dark and you're trying to find the light switch or your cell phone in the middle of the night, you're just kind of groping around trying to find things. In the blindness, he doesn't know where to project his voice. So the only thing he does is he knows how to get large with his voice. And he calls out, "Jesus, not just Jesus, but he calls him the Son of David. If you look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, that's the messianic title for Jesus. And so this guy, if you will, allow a little Thomism to come in here. He really is saying, Jesus, you are the Messiah. You are the promised one. You are the anointed one. The man who is physically blind has perfect spiritual vision. And you can see the contrast happening here. Physically blind, spiritually able to see. And so he says, Jesus, you're the Messiah. You're the promised one. He knows all the right things to say. He has them in his head. He also has applied them to his heart. And he's calling out in his brokenness to the one person that can make him whole. Jesus, the Messiah, have mercy. Mercy is undeserved, unmerited, unearned favor. Undeserved, unmerited, unearned favor. So if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to write this. This is what blind Bartimaeus said. Jesus, you're the Messiah. Please show me unearned favor. I have a need that only you can meet. So those who led the crowd. In my mind, this is like the Secret Service. You have those agents that surround your politician or whatever. Some big name comes into town. You know, if I'm ever going into Secret Service, you know my code word, my code name. You know that now, right? It's Bald Eagle, okay? So if I ever work in the Secret Service, Bald Eagle coming in. All right, so these guys are, some of you are just getting that. That's great. So these guys that are leading the way for Jesus to try to peel back the crowd, because there's always a crowd around Jesus, and Jesus has a place he's got to get to. He has to get to Jerusalem. So he's got these bodyguards, the Secret Service around him, and look at how they interact with Bartimaeus. They look at him and they were sternly telling him to be quiet. Put in your mind's eye what's going on in this narrative. You have a beggar who's blind that has a social connotation of being in the judgment and wrath of God. He's calling out to Jesus, saying and believing all of the right things. And here you have the disciples, or at least the entourage, if you will, the Secret Service, and they're speaking down to him. They're minimizing him. And friends, this morning, sometimes I live in verse 39. I look at people and I forget that they're valuable. And they're not valuable for what they can do for me. They're not valuable for how they can better me. They're valuable because they were created in the image of God. And you're going to see this contrast between verses 39, 40, and 41, where some are looking at this blind Bartimaeus, this blind guy who's just begging. I can't prove it by scripture how they treated a beggar. Do you hear me? So I'm just going to go out and just wander for a minute. I'm sure some people stole from him. If he's holding out his cup, I'm sure some stole from him. I'm sure some mocked him. I'm sure some beat on him. If someone can't see you coming, you sucker punch them. That's how they were. And here comes the Secret Service, those that led the way. They're telling him, just be quiet. Just sit down and know your spot. But he kept crying out all the more. You can't quiet or silence this guy. He knows that Jesus is coming. He knows the reputation of Jesus. He knows what Jesus can do. And he knows that he can run to the Father, to Jesus, because he's the only one that can put him back together. So the guys are saying, just keep quiet. And then he says, oh no, You've just emboldened me knowing that Jesus is even closer. So he calls out even more, crying out even louder, Son of David, Messiah, Messiah, have mercy. Show me grace. Out of his brokenness, he cries out. And the first question I wonder this morning, I wonder when is the last time you cried out to God? You see, I don't know if it's a man thing, if it's a Maine thing, if it's an American thing, if it's a pride thing, it's probably all those put together. But very few of us cry out to God. I can fix this myself. I can do this myself. I can pull myself up. I don't need God. And yet here comes blind Bartimaeus, completely broken, completely helpless physically, but boy, spiritually, he's right on track because he can see who Jesus is. I wonder this morning, when's the last time you called out? When's the last time you sat in your brokenness and you sat there saying, Jesus, help me. Not because you're in a situation that you've tried yourself. This guy, he has no physical hope. But then Jesus. So, Jesus stopped. Remember, Jesus is on this mission. The point of the spear, if you will, the secret service have gone through. They've hushed him. Oh, just stop your yelling. And yet we see here from Jesus, he stopped. Let this minister to you. Let this convict you. Jesus is on a mission. Jesus's day timer, his Google Calendar, Siri, whatever you want to put in there, has him so strategically booked. He has to get to Jerusalem. He's got this whole crowd around him. All of these people yelling, or at least talking loudly, pulling at him, wanting something from him. And out of all of that noise, here comes this man calling, Jesus, Messiah, have mercy on me. Jesus doesn't look at him and say, hey, I got to get going. I'll see you later. He stops. And I just wonder, are you so busy? And is life so jammed that you don't have margin for people? Sometimes we get so focused on the mission, we forget the people. Verse 40, a stark contrast to verse 39. So which one are you more like? Are you more like the people in verse 39? Get out of my way, I've got places to go. Or are we like Jesus, slowing down life and adding value to people? So Jesus stopped and he commanded that he be brought to him. Out of all that noise, out of all that chaos, out of people talking, whether you're yelling, scripture doesn't say, scripture does say Bartimaeus yelled or called out. And Jesus says, everybody stop. And when Jesus says something, people respond. So he says, everybody, we're going to stop. He brought Bartimaeus to him. And when he came near, Jesus questioned him. We'll come back to that in a minute. But the question that I have for you is, how can you show value to someone today? You see, you're going to pick up your busy time and your busy life in the next 15 minutes. Some of you are already texting meetings and doing emails, and I understand that. And we get so busy in life that we walk past people forgetting that we can add value to them. I am just as guilty, if not more, than others. And I was challenged this week to slow down, to look at people. When you slow down and you actually engage someone in a conversation and you look at them in the eye, or at least you try to find their eye, it makes them slow down. But we're so busy getting to the next thing. And that busyness is not necessarily bad. But let's not lose the ministry of adding value to people. I'm not perfect. I don't stand here saying I have it all together. Because if you get close to me in the 30 seconds, you're going to realize I don't have it all together. But one thing I try to do, I don't do it every time, is when I get to go out to a meal, I look at them, at the server, and I say, we're going to pray. What's going on in your life that I can pray for? And most of them go, I'm sorry, what? And some of them say, pray for world peace. I said, this isn't the Miss America pageant. But they're taken so off guard. And a few times, being less than three or four, people said, I don't know. They've been taken so off guard. One time I did that, and they came back 10 minutes later after the craziness of the lunch shift, and they stood there and unloaded for 10 minutes. That doesn't mean I have it all together. But we were able to slow down life and look at each other and say, how can I pray for you? And then you know what happens? You go back to that restaurant, you get that same server, you go, hey, how's that thing going on? Whatever happened? And you know what they do? You remembered. What's that do? It shows value. That's one example. How about we slow down, we look at each other, and we add value? What's your creative way to do it? Because it catches people off guard. You want to do what? You actually slowed down and acknowledged me. It's what Jesus did to Bartimaeus. So, remember, he questioned him, starting in verse 41. He says, what do you want me to do for you? You see, I never lack in opinions. I even sometimes don't lack in sharing my opinions. I'm learning some people don't want to hear my opinions. And sometimes what happens in ministry is people come and they share a burden. And I respond with, well, this is what you need to do. This is what I can do for you. What I'm learning is that I need to be more like Jesus. And Jesus, he knows everything. And yet he looks at Bartimaeus and he says, what do you want me to do for you? He asks Bartimaeus a question. Jesus is not sitting here scratching his head going, I don't know what to do. Jesus wants to get to the heart of the issue and ask Bartimaeus, what do you want from me? Bartimaeus could have said, hey, I'm hungry. Could you provide me lunch? And Jesus could have done that. Hey, do you have a couple extra shekels you have laying around? But Jesus didn't look at him and say, this is what I'm going to do. Jesus looked at him and says, how can I help? When someone comes and they have a problem, they have an issue, they have a trial, what would it look like if we just learned from Jesus and said, what can I do to help? You know, eight out of 10 people, you know what they say? Just pray. Because they know and you know, there's not a single blessed thing we can do this side of heaven, physically. But boy, we can boldly approach the throne by prayer. And then follow up. So Jesus looks at him and says, what do you want me to do? So Bartimaeus says, Lord. Really what he's saying is master. So he not only knows that Jesus is the Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament, but he also realizes that Jesus has control over everything. He has the power to heal him. So he says to him, Messiah, Jesus, Messiah, promised Messiah, master, I want to regain my sight. Remember I told you back in the beginning, this is probably one of the saddest things. The guy had his sight. He lost it. So he knew what he lost. He knew what he was missing. And then he comes back and says, I want to regain my sight. Because he has this social stigma that he is under the judgment or the wrath of God. So he's physically blind. But spiritually, he's got that 20/20 vision. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has made you well. There's our key word again. Your faith has made you well. It wasn't in how he addressed Jesus. It wasn't the magical words that he said. It was in the posture of his heart and the preciseness of his faith. He put his faith and trust in Jesus. It wasn't works. It wasn't action. It was his knowledge that Jesus was the Messiah. So Jesus turns to him and says, "Your faith has made you well." And then verse 43 tells us immediately. I did this deep study on the Greek word for immediately. Do you know what it means? Really, 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 really fast. Okay? 7 years of seminary to pull that out for you. You're welcome. You're much further ahead than me. So really, 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 really fast. Some of you didn't find that funny. It's okay. Immediately, he regained his sight. Not after 2 weeks. He didn't have to go back for a contact check. He didn't have to go back for his eyeglasses to be readjusted. Boom. 20/20 perfect vision was regained. And then what happened? He began to follow him. Remember I told you Mark named him in Mark chapter 10? Scholars believe that Bartimaeus made such an impact in the early church that they wanted to document his changed life. And so he began to follow Jesus, and he was glorifying God. I wonder how he glorified God. I cannot prove it verse and reference in scripture. But what I do know about Bartimaeus is that he was able to project. He had a preacher's voice. How do we know that? His voice was able to go over the top of the crowd. Now, if you've ever had an ailment, if you've ever been really, really injured and you received healing, you were very grateful for that healing and you were willing to tell others about that. I can't prove it. It's just, I'm going to say this, and if you can prove me wrong, I'd love to buy you a cup of coffee and I'll admit I was wrong. I think that the guys that cleared the crowd for Jesus, I think they became unemployed because I think Bartimaeus went out in front of them and he used that voice and that projection to start to articulate, here comes Jesus. This is what he's done for me. Because his life was changed. And when all the people saw it, hey, isn't that blind Bartimaeus? We know him as blind Bartimaeus. Since I was a wee little lad in Sunday school, he was blind Bartimaeus. Isn't that Bartimaeus? How did you receive your sight? Funny you should ask. Let me tell you the story. And he told and testified, and they gave praise to God. Because of the changed life of Bartimaeus, people were glorifying and praising God. This morning, you have homework. Today, I can praise God because you're going to have lunch in approximately 10 minutes, or at least leave here in approximately 10 minutes. Your homework this afternoon as you sit around the lunch table is to go around and answer this question. Today, I am thankful for, or today, I praise God because... Let me get you started. Today I praise God because I'm sitting in my house. Because you have a house. There are some here that do not have a home. We're going to go home and we're going to have a meal and it's going to be good. There are some that are going to sit and they may not have a meal. Today I am thankful and I praise God because I have lunch. You're going to sit in your home that has a screened door that's keeping out the black flies. I praise the Lord for screens. Some of you have the door closed and you have the air conditioning going. I praise the Lord for air conditioning. I praise the Lord that it's not the heat and it's not snowing. Glory be to Jesus. Thank you. You're the only one that clapped all three services. All right. How about when you sit around your table, you're not sitting by yourself. You're surrounded by family or friends. You see where I'm going with this? So many times we focus on the one or two things we don't have. We forget to praise God for what we do have. I wonder what your life would look like if you would say, you know what? Yes, we're busy, but for the next 10 minutes, we're going to sit down and just go around the table until we can find a stopping place. Because so many times we forget to count our blessings and name them one by one. Let's learn from Bartimaeus. He was blind, and then he went and found Jesus, and he could see. His response was glory. His response was devotion, and he followed Jesus all the days of his life. Three questions from today. The first one is, are you going through a time, physically, mentally, emotionally, that you are calling out to God? Or is it time for you to start calling out to God? Maybe you're here and you have perfect physical vision, but you would say to me, I am blind because I can't see Jesus. Maybe this morning is the morning that you go to the eye doctor. His name is Jesus. Slow down this afternoon. Find someone to add value. It doesn't have to be monetarily. Take time. Take time to add value to someone's life. Take time to let them know that they care, that they matter, and that you care. Third challenge, sit around your lunch table this afternoon and praise God. What would your life look like if you did that? Faith in the 21st century. People are important. Let's grow in our faith with Jesus Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. As you close your Bibles, you settle yourself, I just want to take a chance that maybe somebody needs prayer. That maybe God has stirred you and challenged you, and you're just saying, would you pray for me? I just wonder if there's anybody here that would slip up your hand. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make you come forward. I just want to pray for you. If there's anybody here that says, would you pray for me? Because I'm in the process of crying out, physically, mentally, emotionally. Would you pray for me? I see those couple hands. Anybody else? See those hands. About five hands came up. Six hands came up. I wonder if there's anybody here that says, you know, Tom, I'm physically able to see, but spiritually, I don't see Jesus. He's the one I need to see. Is there anybody here, whether you're in the building or you're online, message me, reach out. Is there anybody here that would say, would you pray for me that I can be bold? I want to show value to people. Either pray for boldness or pray for time that I'd make it a priority because people are important. Would you pray for me this week? I see those two hands, three hands. Looks like four or five. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. In a moment of vulnerability, it's changed me. It's challenged me. It's shown me where I am fallen short. And yes, we can say, oh, Jesus always had it right. And he did, because he's the perfect Son of God. And he's shown us again to slow down and make time for people. So Lord, help us to show value to people, that we wouldn't be so busy about our calendar and our schedule that we blow past ministry opportunities with people. So give us the boldness, give us the margin, give us the time to show people that they are important. Lord, for those that are struggling physically, mentally, or emotionally, I cry out on behalf of them that they would call out to you, that they would run to the Father whose arms are open again and again and again. So Lord, help us to call out to you in times of need. And Jesus, if there's someone here that can physically see, but spiritually they are blind, I pray that you might give them wholly discontent until they go to the perfect surgeon, Jesus, to open their eyes. If there's someone that has not called out to the name of Jesus for spiritual healing, may this message be the message that they do that. We're so thankful for Jesus, for all that he has done, and for all that he will do. We leave here glorifying you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.